B-Pod Studios.
All right, let's get started.
Comic books, video games, anime, sci-fi. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
Come on, man. You know I only surf Transformers sites when there's girls around so they can see how cool I am.
Nerd Radio starts now.
With an accent on comic books this week. Welcome to this week's edition of Nerd Radio. Another special Nerd Radio 101 episode as we just take one particular subject and deep dive into it. I'm your host, Chuck Bean, usually joined by James and Al Beck, but this week, not so much. They on vacation.
They left you behind, huh? How come you don't get vacation?
I don't know what vacations are like.
Yeah.
Because I make part-time money and they make full-time money.
Oh,
that's
womp,
the
womp.
That's the actual...
I remember those days.
I'm sure you do.
I remember those days.
I am joined this week, however, by Checkpoint XP's own Mr. Robbie Landis. Welcome to the show, Robbie.
Yeah, it's good to be talking about comics again.
I'm sure it is. And I want to start off the show by thanking you for letting us sublet the studio
for a couple hours.
Every week here in the Checkpoint XP studios. Of course, you can find Checkpoint XP on Twitch, twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. And you guys got your website with all the stories and the podcast and everything, the daily show that you guys
do. Yeah, I actually been doing a lot of comic content, too. You know, last week I put out a story about, you know, five new Avengers that we should see in the next year, all of which will be women.
Yep.
So looking forward to that. But, yeah, actually quite a bit. I have some Loki stuff to write after I watch a little bit later today as well.
Yeah, that Loki, I mean, we'll talk. Well, that leads into something that we'll talk about in our second segment. But man, Loki spoilers are unavoidable.
It's really bad. You know, I remember a time when actually not too long ago, like when Infinity War and Endgame had came out, and we saw something similar when you know, the new Star Wars movies were starting to come out. It seemed like everybody was really on board with the fact, like, hey, don't spoil this for people.
Right.
You know, as like a community and social media, we were all very much like, no spoilers. And like, now it's gotten to the point, I don't know if, you know, being in the pandemic had anything to do with it, and people were just so starved that I feel like since the Disney Plus shows have started, the moment they air, that
yep.
stuff is all over social media. People don't give a crap.
No. I woke up this morning. You cannot check Twitter the day the episode drops
yep.
until you've seen it, or you're gonna find something out.
When they had Evan Peters, he came out as Quicksilver in WandaVision.
Right.
I woke up that morning. And, you know, one of the big sites like Comic Book Resources or comicbook.com or something, you know, had a story and they were like, spoiler is in WandaVision, but then the picture was him.
Yeah, right. So, like, I think I can figure
Thanks.
It out.
CBR, appreciate that.
Yeah, the hashtags on Twitter are just nuts. Like, there's a cameo in this week's episode that I'm like, oh, well, all right.
I haven't been spoiled yet. That'll be the first thing I do
anything.
When I go home.
Not saying anything, but it looks like fun. So, yeah, this week we're going to talk exclusively about comics because this is something that me and you have greatly in common. And I think much like last week's episode where we had a roundtable talking about how pro wrestling is, what it's like to watch pro wrestling in 2021, I think if you haven't tuned into comics in a minute, that there's some ways to consume comics, and there's some fascinating things going on in comics that you may not be aware of. So let's dive into it. To start with, though, let's talk about comic book origin stories. Now, people on Nerd Radio are very familiar because I've probably said it like once a year about how I got started in comics, some of my favorite comics growing up. But what about you, Robbie? Where did you start? Where did the passion for comic books start with you?
It didn't become quite as big of a passion for me until recently. But the first comic books that I ever remember reading, my dad had bought at like a garage sale, just like a box of comics. They were in
nice.
Terrible condition.
Right.
I remember there was a Spider-Man teaming up with Doctor Strange in there. There was another one of Spider-Man fighting some sort of like Assassin's League. There's particular, I remember one scene where, like, you know, these two big like Bane looking guys with like, you know, daggers both went to like slash him at the same time as he jumps up and they just like carve into each other's arms.
Woo.
And then there was a Flash one that even to my good friend Ben, who's a huge Flash fan, like when I mentioned this to him, he has no recollection of what it could possibly be. But I just remember Flash being in some sort of like race, like a competition across the universe, and his sort of like side character, like the supporting character in that book, was like a lightning bolt type entity.
Interesting.
And I've tried to look it up, you
yeah.
know, at this point with stuff like, you know, DC Universe or DC
yes.
Unlimited, whatever it's
yeah,
called
DC
now.
DC Universe.
But can't find it at all. But that was sort of my first, you know, very first comic books I ever read. And where I lived, there were no comic book stores, so buying comic books weren't a thing. So my entry into actual superheroes was stuff like, you know, Batman, the animated series, X-Men, Spider-Man.
Right.
And it wasn't until a few years after the Ultimate Universe had launched that, you know, through a good online friend, I basically got, like, the entire – someone had found a way to put all of the Ultimate Universe up to that point in chronological order in one collection.
Yes.
So I was able to read through everything in the Ultimate Universe and the Ultimate Timeline in its, you know, perfect chronological order. And that kind of ruined me a little bit. Right?
Really?
Because then from there, even with stuff like, you know, Marvel Unlimited or DC Infinite, where everything was out there, it was always like, well, where do I start? Right?
Okay.
Where's the beginning?
Yeah.
There isn't really a beginning. Like, there are nice jumping in points, you know, every few years. And obviously, I think DC does the reset the best, right? Because Marvel, I don't think they've ever actually reset. Everything is still canon.
I think DC has the most practice at it.
Right. But I mean, even like people are like, well, why don't you just start with, like, you know, like smaller events or, like, you know, the one-shots or stuff. You know, go and read like House of M, which is one of the first ones that I jumped into since getting back into comics. But even House of M still talks about all the stuff that happened before it. And even the way it ends, it doesn't actually end. It ends with Hank Pym going, but where did all that energy go?
Yeah.
And so that was always the hardest part for me about getting into comics, was I always felt like I was missing out on something. And it's there's not enough time to just read everything. So obviously, you know, when me and Ben Morris started The Other Identity, you know, jumping into obviously using something like Marvel Unlimited, DC Universe.
Right.
If you have a Netflix account you don't use or Apple TV, get rid of it and get those two things if you're into comics, because it is 100% worth it.
Yeah.
And then basically just jumping into stuff, you know, finding reading lists essentially. And you just kind of have to put aside the fact that you aren't going to be able to know absolutely everything about everything.
Yes.
And once you make that decision to finally just jump in somewhere and get going, you know, it's a lot of fun. So I think the biggest thing I've been reading since then has been the Rebirth stuff, mm-hmm. which I've been using like a, you know, a 4,000 comic reading list. I'm about a third of the way through it now, maybe.
Right.
So yeah.
So I get the impression in our interactions on Twitter and stuff, and the, you know, your reading list stuff, that you're more of a DC guy than a Marvel guy.
Not necessarily. I think I do prefer Marvel more, especially obviously when it comes to, like, cinematic stuff.
Sure.
I think that DC probably has the better villains. I think I prefer the heroes from Marvel. But again, I think it was just easier to get into something like DC with, like, the Rebirth era. Because, you know, again, when it comes to Marvel, everything is canon. You know, they don't reset every few years. They try to give you new jumping on points,
right.
whether it's with something like, you know, the all new, all different or
yeah,
whatever.
Exactly.
But it all still
other than
is
like
canon.
The Ultimate Universe, they've never really
Correct.
Been like,
and,
let's
and
just
even that now, they've
start
now
again.
They've now rolled it in. So even that's canon along with all the other stuff. I think I prefer reading, you know, events through Marvel.
Yeah.
You know, when DC does events, I recall probably the most egregious example was Night of the Monster Men in Batman.
Sure.
You know, in order to do that, you had to read Batman, then Detective Comics, then Nightwing, then Batwoman, then Batman, then Detective Comics.
Yep.
It's like, it was annoying. but something like Empire or X of Swords,
yep.
you know, and again, had it not been for something like you know, the reading list and Marvel Unlimited, even that probably would have been really, really difficult to get through because, again, of all the tie-ins and stuff that they do.
Right.
But being able to log into Marvel Unlimited and they're like, here's all the stuff you have to read in this order to get the best experience,
yep.
that helps quite a bit.
Now, I understand, and we'll get to it later on in the show, the streaming service, Marvel Unlimited, DC, or is it DC Unlimited? Yeah, Marvel Unlimited,
they
DC
just,
Universe.
Yeah, they just recently changed. I actually think it's DC Infinite now. I don't know.
But they've got, you know, basically a streaming service where you can read comics on your tablet or on your phone or wherever you've got it. Do you have a store that you go to? Do you partake in physical comics, or is it basically all
no,
digital?
No, I tried to when J.J. Abrams came out with his limited run. It was like a 5-issue run
Spider-Man
of
book
Spider-Man, because I had read the first one, and it blew me away. And so I actually went out to a few stores to try and find it, and I'm like, I'm going to see if I can't collect this one in the physical copy.
Right.
Couldn't find anywhere, so I'm like, nah. And so I read all of mine digitally now.
Yeah. No, and that's a huge problem for comic book stores too. Owning a comic book store, especially nowadays, is a lot like owning like a record store or something like that. It's a very specialty shop, which means that your overhead is very thin, and it makes it difficult for comic book stores to be like, well, I'm going to make sure I've got this in stock at all times kind of thing.
Yeah, I can't say that I'm really sort of up to date on, like, you know, the inner workings of the various levels of the comic book industries, but it definitely seems like it's something that they're struggling with, and something that's more endemic and isn't, you know, going to be solved overnight in any way, shape, or form.
It's a little bit encouraging that so many comic book stores actually survived the last couple of years with people not being able to go out and shop and everything like that, finding ways to either deliver or to do online and mail order and that kind of thing.
I guess I'd be interested to know, because obviously, you know, as fans, most people probably just have one or two of those stores that they know or that they go to, right? So,
right.
You know, if a bunch of them were to suddenly blink out of existence, so long as they're not our one or two, it's probably not something that we're really going to notice all that much, you know? So I would wager that probably more of them vanish than we'd care to know about.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. It's the kind of thing, I mean, even in the area that we live in, I know of, like, at this point, I think we're down to 4 or 5 stores in the local area, but it seemed like every couple of years around, you know, tax time is when you'd be like, oh, somebody's going out of business. That sucks. That's one less store you can go in.
Yeah. The only ones that I know about is I know that we have 2 Vault of Midnights near-ish. I think one's in Ann Arbor.
One's in Ann Arbor and one's downtown.
Yeah, and then there's another one that I don't remember the name of it that you know, Kate and I stopped at when we tried to get that...
The
Spidey one. Don't remember the name of it.
I'm sure if we narrowed it down off air, I could tell you exactly what store it is and give you an opinion on it. One of the things, while we're talking about comic book stores, this isn't where the conversation was initially planned to head in the first segment, but while we're talking about comic book stores, I wanted to bring up the fact that this week is actually the final issue of the Batman Fortnite series. And
great.
I've seen
how many issues have there been, because I read the first one and was not impressed with it.
There have been 6.
Oh my god.
And as somebody that actually helps out a couple nights a week at a comic book store, it's been fascinating to see how this particular thing
have they not been able to talk through the whole thing.
I don't know, because I haven't read any of them.
Okay, fair enough. You're probably not missing out on much.
Probably not, because Batman's okay, but I'm not a Fortnite player. And the real attraction to these books is the fact that every one of them comes with a Fortnite code for something in-game.
Gotcha.
And let me tell you, that has put people in the stores, which is really fascinating.
Yeah, that
to
doesn't
see.
Surprise me at all.
Especially,
it is, I will give them, a very smart way to get after the younger audience.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of young kids that probably didn't even know comic book stores existed, but if I can get that Fortnite thing, I'll go online and I'll find out what the local comic book store is, and then I'll ask mom and dad to take me there and spend $5 on a Fortnite comic book.
Yeah,
so
no,
I have the Harley Quinn skin.
Yeah, especially if that's the only way to get them. I, you know, again, can't necessarily blame comics for going that way. But as a reader, that first issue was terrible.
Yeah, well, so bad. But I it's made me think. Because you look at, like, I've said it before on this show, you look at how much, how expensive, like, Pokemon cards are, and the craze over Pokemon cards right now and other things. And I thought to myself, how can comics tap into that? Like, what is a way that they can make people just as excited to the end?
I don't think they can. Honestly, I think that the Pokemon card craze was a flash in the pan.
Yeah.
Specifically, if, you know, it was both Twitch culture sort of colliding at a similar time that, you know, the pandemic had put us all back in our houses,
sure,
right? Because if I remember correctly, I think it started with Logix was the first one sort of as the pandemic was starting, as he was retiring and, you know, becoming a full-time Twitch streamer.
Yeah.
He bought that Charizard card for an insane price, and then, you know, a few more people followed, and everyone's in their house. They're, you know, digging through their attics, digging through their closets now, coming up with all the Pokemon cards, and it's definitely something that's also rooted in nostalgia as well.
Right.
Everyone collected Pokemon cards, and, well, I'm sure a lot of people probably had their comics. It's not quite the same way, you know, and obviously I think there is still that. There's an echelon of collectors out there. I somehow ended up in a few groups on Facebook where people are constantly, you know, trading and collecting and talking about the worth of their comics and stuff.
Oh, sure.
You know, that's something that never quite I guess, went away. But, you know, it's the same thing like, you know, baseball cards, you know, sports cards and stuff like that. There's still a market for it, but right. it's dwarfed by what Pokemon cards have become.
Oh, 100%. And it's definitely, that's another thing, like you were saying about the pandemic with the Pokemon cards. Comics have kind of skyrocketed if you're in that world. There's been comics that even I own that I'm like, that's worth what? I should Ooh. Probably get rid of that if it's worth that much money.
Sell that, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that's been absolutely fascinating to get into. All right, well, seeing as you don't really frequent any comic book stores, let me let you and the listeners know that you can go to comicshoplocator.com and find the comic book store near you, especially around Free Comic Book Day.
That would have been nice to know because, yeah, when I was going to look for that Spidey comic, it was basically just like, you know, Katie grew up around there, so it's just like, do you know where any are?
Right. Right, because it was I was thinking about it as I was putting together the notes for this show, and it's fascinating to me that I can think back to my first comic book experiences were mainly 7-Elevens and drugstores back in like the late 80s, yeah. getting, you know, but being somewhere, going grocery shopping with mom and then being, hey, can we go to the drugstore next door so I can buy a comic book? And it was a lot of Transformers and Ninja Turtles and that kind of thing. But eventually it turned into superheroes.
Yep. No, we didn't have any of that where I was, unfortunately.
All right. Well, let's take a short break. And when we come back, we'll talk about comic books now in 2021. As we've mentioned already in this one, there's a bunch of streaming services you can get into. And, of course, there's a whole bunch of ways that you can experience a lot of these characters in our day and age. And we'll talk about what that's like next on Nerd Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I'm Jay Fosgate, I'm the creator of Bodhi Troll, and you are listening to Nerd Radio on Rift 2.
Welcome back to Nerd Radio, wherever you get your podcasts. It's part of the B-Pod Studios Network, and of course, all over your social media at Nerd Radio 101. My name's Chuck Bean, I'm joined this week by Robbie Landis, Checkpoint XP. We're talking comic books and having a blast doing it. So, nowadays, there are a multitude of ways to consume your comics. We talked a little bit earlier about the Marvel Unlimited app and the DC Universe app, but also the movies have really exploded mm-hmm. as far as experiencing your comic book characters. We've got at least four Marvel movies a year usually and a couple of DC movies.
At this point, I think we can expect four Marvel movies and four Marvel shows a year.
Yeah.
We're at the point where, because in the first part of the year, when you count the sort of making of videos since WandaVision premiered, we haven't gone a week without a new Marvel something.
Yeah.
I think that'll change with the movies coming out because the movies will probably, you know, take up, again, the same sort of 6 to 7 weeks, you know, before something new comes out. But
right.
there's always – and then if you take into consideration the Star Wars stuff, there is a new Disney something
yes.
coming out every single week.
Yeah, I remember a couple of months ago kind of looking at the schedule and realizing, oh, they're just staggering it. Mm-hmm. If there's not a Star Wars thing for 6 weeks, there's a Marvel thing.
Look, it's the smart thing to do. I know a lot of people, you know, complain, you know, because they're so used to binge culture that they just
yes.
want, just do what Netflix does. Just put it all out so I can watch it all at once. But the smart thing to do is that if you want to be able to watch everything when it comes out,
right.
then you never have a chance to let that sub drop.
Yes. Exactly, which is, like you're saying, it's smart business.
Good business, yep.
But on top of all that, we've got something that we've had since the inception of video games, and that is tons of superhero video games. A little less than we used to get, but the quality is typically higher than
what we
used to get.
Oh, the quality has gone way, way up since the first Arkham game. I know that a lot of people will still harken back to stuff like Maximum Carnage and some of the Spider-Man
sure.
games. And they were fun, but technology really limited, I think, you know, what... allowing them to really capitalize on, you know, the identity of the characters. You know,
yeah.
the Avengers game is fine. It's fun, but it's really all the same from character to character, unlike when you play the actual Spider-Man or Batman games and you feel like you are you are those characters.
Yeah, Spider-Man specifically has come a long way when it comes to the video games, because
I had to get the web slinging right.
When I was a wee lad and we had it on the Atari 2600, it was just a red and blue kind of blocky
blob
thing that
yep.
just went up a building, and it was crazy. The Genesis game was great though. You're talking about Maximum Carnage, like that's in that era.
Yeah, the one that I remember playing, I think it was on the PlayStation 1. I just remember there being like collectible comic books.
Yep.
Throughout it.
Stan Lee was the narrator throughout the whole thing.
I believe so. You couldn't actually land on the street level when you were up on top. It was just like cloudy and misty. If you fell through, that was yeah. it. You were gone.
But it was always, I guess, Arkham Asylum that we would get back in that day, you would also get like a Superman 64 or something. You would get a game where you're like, who said this was okay?
Unfortunately. Although all of the Ninja Turtle games were always really good.
That's true. They were even the very first one, which was hard as balls, was really, really fun stuff. Man, I love that arcade game. But in addition to video games, as we were talking about, we've got the streaming services with DC is over on, what is it, HBO Max now.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've also got Disney with all the Marvel stuff. I love that Harley Quinn show.
Oh, the Harley Quinn. You know, we always talked about on The Other Identity, you know, a lot of people think about the universes, the cinematic universes, right? But
right.
we're at the point now, especially when you look at like what Amazon's doing, even some of the stuff that Netflix is doing, that we're finally at the point now where comic books, at least when it comes to their properties, aren't niche anymore. They're
yeah.
part of our culture, period. Doesn't matter who you are.
Right.
They're not just for children anymore. And it's at the point now where we don't need to just have all this interconnected stuff. You know, DC's always obviously been good with like the animated movies, which
right.
apparently some of them were connected and some of them weren't necessarily connected. But we're at the point now where you need to just start letting creators take chances on mm-hmm. stuff, you know. And, of course, you're going to get some bad things, you know, even when you have your connected universe. In humans, I'm looking at you. but then you're also going to get amazing things like Harley Quinn, you know. And MODOK just released over on Disney Plus, which was all right. It seems like it was kind of Marvel's answer to that, while also still being a little bit different.
Yeah.
But we're definitely at the point now where I think DC was probably the biggest offender. If you remember when the first Suicide Squad movie came out, they killed off Deadshot on the CW show,
right?
Because they didn't want any confusion or crossover. I don't know what the reasoning was. It was stupid, is what it was. But now, you know, you have the Flash on the CW. You have Flash in animated movies. You have Flash coming out on the big screen. Like, it shouldn't matter anymore at this point. Just start investing in more projects, you know?
Yeah.
Just seeing what sort of cool stuff you can do. And they're not all going to make it. You're going to get The Gifted, right?
Right.
Which no one's going to care about. But then you're going to get really great stuff like Harley Quinn. So I'd like to see, I think, Marvel, which obviously I think has a tighter clamp on what they're doing, but I'd like to see them start to branch out a little bit more. I was excited for the stuff they were going to do with Hulu, MODOK was on Hulu, not on Disney.
Yep.
But they were supposed to have Hit Monkey.
Hit Monkey. Yeah.
Dazzler and Tigra was supposed to get their own show. And then there was another. Well, Howard the Duck, I think, was supposed to get his own show. And
yes.
all that was supposed to culminate in The Offenders or something like that.
Right.
I don't know how many of those are actually still, you know, going through. But I just like to see more stuff overall. I want us to get to a point where there's so much comic book stuff that I can't watch all of it. And I have to get to a point where I have to decide, you know what, I'm just going to have to pass on that.
I think we're already at that point,
honestly. We're getting there.
Because there's a lot that has just fallen by the wayside, especially when it comes to a lot of those Hulu shows, like Cloak and Dagger happened, and mm-hmm. like I never watched it.
Watched the first season and a half. It was okay.
I finally got around to starting to watch The Gifted last year, and I was like, oh, man, I love X-Men. It's too bad I missed this.
Yeah, is
I'm enjoying it.
Are you?
Yeah. No, it's interesting to see those characters in a completely different light. Characters like Polaris and Blink. And then I guess, you know, when you get to later episode or later seasons, like some of the other deep cuts happen.
I watched the first episode and then I was out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what happened with MODOK with me. I think me and James both, we watched the first episode and we're like, nah.
Yeah, it's okay. Katie and I think we watched like one every few days. We definitely didn't like binge through it like we do a lot of stuff. We were just like, all right.
So do you have a favorite when it comes to the different mediums? Like, let's talk about when it comes to the shows.
Do you have I don't know that I can say I have a favorite medium. Marvel has changed the game,
yeah.
obviously. You know, when it comes down to a show-by-show basis, there's obviously a lot of arguments made for really any of them. But
sure.
when it comes down to just overall, the delivery, no one can touch what Marvel's been able to do with the movies and now with the TV shows as right. well. I don't think that we are ever going to see anything like this in multimedia again. Because, I mean, you know, even DC, who has the potential to do it, I think so many people at this point now will be so... We'll be so caught up on the idea of not wanting to play catch-up, right?
Yeah.
It's a lot of the complaints that go to DC is they just wanted to have, you know, with the success that the Avengers movie did, we need the Avengers. We need our Avengers. Like, right. like we need it now. We can't play catch-up. We can't
spend the next 7 years
trying to get
it.
There because then they're going to be even further ahead of us, right?
Right.
But you can't just do that. If you could just come out and just do it, Marvel would have done it to begin with.
They
would have
started with the Avengers.
I don't know. I don't know that Marvel's ever or that anyone's ever going to catch up with what Marvel is currently doing. But you know, they're obviously the best example of it.
I've said before that I think that because Marvel got to set the table as far as popular expectation on this kind of mm-hmm. thing, when DC, who seems hell-bent on taking a hard left and like either going super dark or doing something that is not what people expect from a superhero genre, whether it be film or television show, that I think that gets in their way, that like people have an expectation because Marvel has set the expectation
absolutely.
Of like, I'm going to
100%.
There's going to be humor, but then there's also going to be pathos and you know, there's going to be action and I'm going to be invested in a story. And DC's like, what if we let Batman have a machine gun?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, again, at that point now, if you're not willing to put in the work to get to where Marvel is, right, if you're so concerned about just catching up to them, the best you can do is just try to do something different, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess in that line of thinking, I can't really fault DC for wanting to try and do their own thing. But it never seems like that's what they're trying to do. It doesn't seem like they're trying to do their own thing. It seems like they're trying to do their own thing, but also still catch up to Marvel.
Right.
And so it comes across as, you know, disingenuous.
And we haven't even touched on all the, like, independent comics that have gotten a show on, say, Netflix or Amazon, like Invincible mm-hmm. and The Boys and the Umbrella Academy.
Yeah, I barely have time to read, you know, Marvel and DC stuff. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I've wanted to read in the independent market.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after watching Invincible, you know, I want to know what's next in that story. So
sure.
I, you know, want to go and read it, but, you know, and I should. It actually has a definitive an ending, doesn't
yes.
it? It ended.
Yes.
So, I mean, that should be more of the reason to do it. Same thing with The Boys. You know, I almost went and started to read that. The Old Guard, which was a mm-hmm. Netflix movie with Charlize Theron. That was another
yep.
one that after I watched, I'm like, I want to know more. I don't know if they're going to get another movie or not. It felt like it was popular enough that they should.
Right.
But I'd love to know what happens in that story.
Right.
Which I think the best place for, you know, independent stuff is Comixology.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're looking for when we go back to, well, and let's talk about the fact, once again, you can pull up stuff on your phone. I've had Marvel Unlimited for probably a couple of years now. I did have the DC Universe app when they were still putting shows on it and everything, and their comic book output, at least for the things I was looking for, was very lacking.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I don't use either of those services for new stuff. Although I will say that one of the good things that the pandemic did get us is I believe that they halved how long it takes for new content to come to the platforms. I forget if it
yes.
was a year, if it was 6 months before.
I think it was like 6 months, and now it's down
now
to like 2 or 3.
Yeah, 2 to 3 months. So that's great. You know, you don't have to wait quite as long. So if you're looking to stay up to date on new things, then obviously Marvel Unlimited in DC Universe is still good. New stuff does go there. You just have to pay for it.
Right.
In which case, you know, I know it sucks not having physical copies, but it's the best place to do it. You know, if you're not worried about staying super up to date on stuff, then I think it's the perfect place for it. And if you don't have Marvel Unlimited or DC Universe, but you want to read comics, you're
yeah.
missing out. Like, if you're making excuses, that's all they are. Get either of those two things and just read.
Well, even around this time last year during the pandemic, Comixology decided to just give people free 3 months instead of giving them a couple
great.
Of weeks of
the
Comixology.
The Pornhub model. They did the same thing, remember? For like a month,
yeah.
It's like log in and you get all of everything for free.
You know what? Everyone's stuck at home, so
it works.
Here's a bunch of
mm-hmm.
comics you can read.
Comics
yeah.
and porn. What more do you need?
But as somebody who's heavily invested in the
porn,
as well as in the comic book stores, like those streaming services are a little scary because you, I mean, you'll never get rid of the comic book fan that wants the physical,
sure,
that wants the experience of going to the comic book store and talking to the guy that's ringing you up about what's he reading and what am I missing out on. But you, and then the experience of having a physical comic, but at the same time, the idea that that content is at your fingertips is.
I have read more comics in, you know, even in the past just few months than I had in my entire life, thanks to Marvel Unlimited and DC Universe.
And DC's thing that we cannot remember.
I'm going to look it up. Let's just nail it down once and for all here. What are you, DC Universe?
I let my DC...
DC Infinite?
I let my DC Infinite...
it's DC Universe Infinite.
All right. We were both right.
Stupid.
I let my DC Universe Infinite... lapse when they moved all the shows to HBO Max, and because the thing that I was there for was Vertigo, and they had none of it up until about like 2 months after I let it lapse, and then they're like, hey, here's all the Hellblazer, which John Constantine is one of my favorite characters in the DC universe, and here's all of Preacher, and here's all this, and I'm like, that's what I was looking for. When are you going to put Sandman up there? So I can read all that, because I only read bits and pieces of it.
Yeah, but still, I mean, hands down, new stuff, I don't really know, you know, what to tell you. It depends on if you like, you know, the physical things or if you don't mind, you know, reading stuff online.
Right.
If you're reading old comic, there is honestly zero excuse not to be signed up for Comixology, Marvel Unlimited, DC Universe, Infinite.
Yeah.
Even if you're like, oh, well, I don't know if I have the money. I'm sure you are signed up for three or four streaming services that you probably don't use as much as you would.
Yeah.
If you were just reading stuff. Like, I've sat in bed before and, you know, 4 hours have gone by as I'm trying to fall asleep just reading through stuff.
Oh, yeah, same here. A little insomnia, and I've just got... And as much as you think, oh, reading comics on my phone is not going to be a pleasurable experience, getting
it's
to...
It's not that bad,
It's
actually.
Really not that bad.
I would actually like to get a tablet. I had a tablet that, for somehow, it was the one model that didn't support Marvel Unlimited.
Yeah.
But I do need to invest in one because it would be a lot easier than trying to... Oh, it doesn't quite get as big as I need it to get.
Yeah, totally. That's the one thing you miss out on with the tablet or the phone is the splash pages, the 2-page spreads. It's like it's always extended on your phone. And like, now I can't read the word balloons; they're too small.
Yep.
Give me the one page. So back to what I was saying before. Do you have a preferred medium as far as the expansion of comic books? Do you really like still reading the books, or do you enjoy, like, say, the movies or maybe even the games more than you do the source material?
I can't even say. If it's a movie, it has to be in theaters.
Yeah.
I'll give you that much. I love being able to watch, you know, what Disney Plus has done, you know, what Marvel has done for series. You know, early on I watched the CW, but it went to a bad place very quickly.
Yeah, I felt like once there were three nights a week of CW shows, now at least one of these doesn't need to be there.
Well, the issue was the CW, Greg Berlanti, I think, his obsession with, well, everyone has to have a team.
Yeah.
Look, Caitlin and Cisco are fine, but I don't give a shit. I'm here to watch The Flash, all right? They can be supporting characters, but I don't need an entire episode about them. So
it's funny you say that because
that's a whole nother discussion right there.
I tapped out on The Flash in the season where like he changed the past and then Cisco was mad at him. And I'm like, I like Cisco when he's fun. This isn't good. And I guess like two episodes later, they went back to normal.
I was just like,
I'm out. I've got other things to do.
And as far as comics go, I don't need the physical versions in my hand. Like they're nice to collect if like you have like some favorites. Like I'd probably go and get like, you know, a trade paperback if, you know, there was a particular story that I really, really liked.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I'm fine just reading them on, you know, DC Universe Infinite or Marvel Unlimited.
Right. Because I don't know if I'm in the minority, especially nowadays, but I do like some of the changes that they've brought to, once again, like the Marvel movies or even the DC stuff. Like, if it makes sense to me, then it's like, well, yeah, you can't do that without explaining it, and explaining it takes like 2 hours. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we'll just do it. Infinity Stones. Okay, they just work like this, and that's fine. All right, I'm good.
You know, actually, probably my most favorite change, if you're mentioning like change from one medium to the other. And this doesn't even necessarily have to do with comics, but, you know, since Endgame and the whole time travel thing, and then knowing that Loki's going to have, you know, to do with time travel movies just in general and time travel mechanics in general have always been so specific. Like, they always get down to the nitty-gritty. You know, like the whole, oh, if you step on a butterfly, it could, who knows what it could change. And that is a genre and has so many cliches and tropes that I think that it honestly does more damage to that genre than anything else, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's very few good time travel movies because you're like, you got to get the details right. And then Marvel comes out, and they get through Endgame without really mentioning it a whole lot. And, you know, people complain and argued about it, and they still do to this point.
Sure.
And then when Loki comes along, you're like, all right, this is it. They have to define them further than that. And then Loki's just like, no, we don't.
Right?
No, we don't. We're just going to be real general about it. You know, things like loopholes and stuff. We just burn them out, right? The TVA is just like, we don't want that to exist. Here, we got a device that takes care of it.
Yep.
And the whole idea that, like, you know, I love the idea that time travel isn't, like, just flat out illegal. Just don't do anything too crazy.
Right.
Which messes with our minds because we're like, but if you step on a butterfly, the Empire State Building's not going to be there anymore. And it's
right.
just like, you know, Captain America just goes back and lives with his wife, right?
Yep.
That shouldn't do anything.
They don't care.
Who cares? It's such a small thing. But we're like, no, the butterfly. It has to do something. And the fact that Loki's just like, no, it's fine.
Yeah.
Like I'm really cool with that.
Yeah. No, that's cool. And also, we were talking earlier about how there's multiverse stuff now. And that seems like the real buzzword going forward for mm-hmm. the next couple of years as far as superhero stuff is. And it's fascinating to me that it feels like it all came back to, like, Enter the Spider-Verse. Like, if Enter the Spider-Verse hadn't have been as good as it was and as successful as it was, I don't know that everyone would be going, like, yeah, well, we can do multiverse stuff because they did it over there and it worked.
Well, I think that we were probably always on the way there, right? Obviously, the Infinity Saga is – it makes sense for Marvel's first big four-way. It was very, you know, sort of forward-facing thing. Everyone – you know, knows who Thanos is, knows what the Infinity Stones are. I think that was the right place to start. And then going forward, though, you know, what's next? What's the next big tentpole that we're doing? Obviously, without having Spider-Man or the X-Men in there, it narrows down some of them. But I feel like even before Infinity War ended, a lot of people were like, well, Secret Wars has to be next, right? I mean, even the Russo brothers, they're like, the only way that we're coming back is if we were doing something like Secret Wars. I do think that, yes, Into the Spider-Verse working, you know, that whole concept, you know, was definitely something that helped to get people ready. I think, honestly, did the CW-verse even do the whole multiverse thing even before Into the Spider-Verse?
I think they did.
Yeah, you know, because I always thought early on that whether or not it works for them or not, I think it's going to work in Marvel's favor, even though DC, oh, we got to the multiverse thing first.
Right.
Doesn't matter how good you do it, you're at least now setting people up because, you know, the big thing is people do, as many people as watch the Marvel stuff, do not read the comics. So you are going to have to explain to a whole new audience, you know, what the whole concept of the multiverse is. And through stuff like Into the Spider-Verse, the CW, and now what we're seeing with Loki, you know, a little bit with Wanda as well.
Yeah.
We're getting people ready for that. And, you know, I think by the time it comes around in Doctor Strange, this is where we'll probably, I mean, even in Far From Home. Right? Mysterio's whole, you know, gimmick was, oh, yeah, I'm from another Earth. You
exactly.
know? So we've been setting people up and getting people ready for it so that, you know, even the people who have issues with things like Darcy suddenly having a PhD after 7 years, like that's the most insane thing you've ever seen in a superhero movie.
Right.
You know, people, I think, should get on board with it.
Yeah, no, I agree. So while we're talking about the movies, too, before we take a short break here, I want to get your opinion on where do you think they go Secret Wars next? Do you think that's the next? Because obviously they got Infinity War to work. Mm-hmm. So there's no way they don't try to do something like that, build towards something like that again over the next decade or so.
It's difficult to say. You know, Feige has said a bunch of different stuff. You know, he's like, you know, once we've done, you know, what we did, like that's the biggest thing that's ever happened. You know,
right.
How do you go bigger than that? You know, he said that with Phase 4, we're doing something different. We want to look, you know, we want to zero in on more intimate storytelling, which is what they're doing, obviously.
Oh, for
Disney
sure.
Plus, you know, but he's also said now that since we have Disney Plus and this new formula works, that Disney Plus is where we tell the smaller intimate stories and the big tentpole things will be saved for the silver
for
screen.
For the theater.
I don't know. It depends. Are they going to follow a similar, you know, formula or a similar blueprint that they did with the Infinity Saga? Because obviously, you know, things kind of slowly ramped up. When you look back, you know, you see that the Infinity War, you know, was something that was probably planned early on, but you even still had things in between there. You know, you had, you know, the Age of Ultron type stuff. You know, there was stepping stones that made their way up to it. And obviously with things like Spider-Man and the X-Men now coming back into the fold as well, you have a lot more to work with.
It's interesting because
we have Kang coming. You know, Kang seems like he'd be big enough that he could be involved in Secret Wars. He also seems right. big enough that he could be his own Thanos type villain. But he's also coming in Ant-Man. Do we see Ant-Man being like, you know, the next Captain America Civil War? Like right. I don't know. We're still early enough that they could really do anything and pull a complete 180 on us. But I would love to see Secret Wars as the next one. And what I think would be really sweet too is, even though we'll probably get, you know, like a part one and a part two Secret Wars movie,
yeah.
with something like Disney Plus, you can do what they do in comics now, where you have, like, you know, the Empire event, it's 6 issues,
right.
but then you have 17 issues exploring how that's affecting other points in the Marvel world.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have part one of Secret Wars come out, and then you have a year of Disney Plus Secret Wars specials,
yeah.
you know, that's showing how it touches on everything else in the Marvel world, and then you end it the next year with the second Secret Wars movie. I think it could be incredible.
It's going to be very strange, even looking at what they've got planned over the next couple of years. You know, how do you build towards something comparable when basically all the characters you've made into a huge deal are off the table? When you've got like an Iron Man, a Captain America, mm-hmm. and a Thor are basically all off the table. Like, so the next Avengers are going to be Shang-Chi and Blade?
No, you keep on building. I mean, look, you're obviously setting, well, because you're setting up a multiverse, you're setting up the idea that you can bring Iron Man back in. He's
sure.
just a new Iron Man. So hello, Tom Cruise. But then you also have an entirely new generation of heroes coming in with, you know, Miss Marvel, America Chavez.
Yeah.
You know, you've teased both Speed and Wiccan as well. I think the only new Avenger or young Avenger that we're missing at this point is Hulkling. So
that seems right.
Yeah, I mean, sure, we've spent this whole time building it up on just Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans. Like, they were the ones that were carrying it on their backs. But we're now at the point where we have so many other characters, and with Disney Plus, we have the means to explore those characters, that the brand is going to become self-fulfilling. You know, it's at the point now where you won't need that star power
right.
to carry it along. You know, I mean, I already know some people that are at the point where, you know, they haven't watched WandaVision. They haven't watched Captain America and the Winter Soldier because they're monsters. Because it's at the point now where they can kind of just, you know, dip their toe into whatever it is that they want. If something doesn't, you know, excite them, all right, fine, don't watch it.
Right.
And in most cases, these movies and shows are built in a way that they support the overall universe, but you don't have to have watched everything to enjoy them.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts on the Fantastic Four and X-Men?
Ooh,
as far as Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yep. So X-Men, personally for me, in order for the X-Men to work, it isn't going to be like a one and done, right? It's not just like, oh, the Snap made them. Oh, Wanda made them.
Right.
No. Mutants have always been here, right? If the X gene was just created, to me, that's not what the mutants are. That's
right.
what the Avengers are. That's what superheroes are. But mutants are born, and they've always been here, and they had no say, or it wasn't just an accident that happened. Like, oh, well, I guess you shouldn't have been in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Right.
And so to me, the X gene has always been here, and there are already mutants among us. You know, if we go back, Deadpool, the first Deadpool sets it up perfectly. They explain that, you know, moments of trauma or, like, incredible stress are what activate the X gene. So you can explain, well, how come they're not in the MCU already? Well, they are, but the government, you know, keeps it quiet, or, you know, they've been, you know, relegated to sort of old wives' tales, right? But, like, to me, Wolverine, like Spider-Man was, he's been here this whole time. He was in World War One. He was in World War Two.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that through stuff like the Snap, through Wanda's thing, I think that you have a bunch of things that over the next few years, you start to show mutants as, like, you know, tertiary characters. So you
yeah.
see them in headlines. So that you are slowly explaining how they started to pop up, and now they've become the quote-unquote mutant menace.
Right.
But they've been here all along. As for the Fantastic Four, I believe one of the rumors that I heard is, again, I think we're over the past the point of origin stories. You know, nobody wants to come in and be like, oh, how do these new people suddenly show up?
Sure.
Most people have been here. You know, the Eternals have been here forever. Shang-Chi, you know, has been here, you know, forever now as well. They're just finally getting their turn sort of in the spotlight. So I think that the Fantastic Four, you know, maybe they've been trapped in the negative zone, you know, for the past few years.
That's been my headcanon so far, is that when they do introduce the Fantastic Four, it'll be a matter of, dude, we were out exploring
the negative zone, and
that's why we missed all this stuff.
You also have to be careful, because you don't want to do another Captain Marvel. Like, oh yeah, just like Captain Marvel, we've just been, you know, around out in space.
Right.
What I would love to see, and one of the things that I loved about the Fantastic Four in the Ultimate Timeline, is they dealt a lot with time travel stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Which I know, you know, again, they haven't been super, you know, specific about their time travel rules, but I think this also allows them a bit more leeway as a result. There was a great Thanos Cosmic Cube story in the Ultimate Timeline that for a bunch of books, Reed was like working on some top secret project. You never knew what it was.
Right.
And they ended up using the Cosmic Cube. You know, they reprogrammed it to when you touch it, it automatically grants you the thing you want most, which for Thanos was death. So when he picked it up, boom, he dies.
Right.
And then it turns out that Reed, the reason he was able to reprogram it was because he was the one who built it. And then he uses the Cosmic Cube to go back in time and set it in front of a young Thanos, then setting everything in motion.
Right.
And so I would love if the intro for a Fantastic Four movie, like, you know, all the credits and stuff, showed them in subtle ways helping out with all of the things that have happened so far. The battle for
That'd
New York, you know, the battle in Sokovia. You know, not necessarily being like, oh, if it wasn't for us, things wouldn't have went your way.
Right.
But just helping in really subtle moments. So they have always been here, because the Fantastic Four have never really been like the Avengers, right? They're not like, we're out here in the middle of it, we're fighting the big things, you know, yeah, we're down and dirty. They're usually finding more creative ways to work with it. They don't really consider themselves superheroes as they do, what's the word that I'm looking for? Philanthropists?
Explorers.
Explorers. There's actually a better word for it. Yeah, explorers. And so I'd love to see them now, obviously, you know, being thrust into it for some reason.
Sure.
But to have them have always been there, they were just staying out of the public eye.
Yeah, I've thought the same thing about the X-Men, that the mutants should always be there, and then maybe Xavier's just like really good at hiding it, man.
Exactly.
He is a psychic after mm-hmm. all. I would love if the Stinger in all the movies, like the next big thing, was bringing the X-Men in, and they just made it the thing in the credits at the end of the movie. It's like at the end of the next Black Panther, oh, look, there's Storm at the end of this movie. Oh, look, there's Wolverine.
Black Panther 2, we already know, is dealing with Atlantis, because I think Namor had been cast, right?
Yep.
So it would be great if at some point, like, look, we need something to really help us, you know, turn the tide. And, you know, Okoye or someone is like, you know, there's rumors of this weather witch, you know, in where is it that Storm's from specifically?
Was it Kenya?
Maybe. I just did an article on this a few weeks ago, and I know that it is a country that's, you know, right up next to Wakanda, but,
right,
you know, it's as easy as that. You know, you've introduced Madripoor already, right?
Right.
Bring Hugh Jackman back, which, by the way, did you see that he teased some stuff on his
Instagram? That's what I was going
to
say.
You bring Hugh Jackman in to do Knights in Madripoor, where if he's not in it for the long haul, that's where you have him hand off the mantle to, you know, whoever the next X-23 is, right?
Yeah.
There's all sorts of amazing things you could do. I'd love to see Magic introduced or released from Limbo in Doctor Strange.
Yeah,
don't even give her a name or anything. Just have like a 30-second thing where they're jumping through a bunch of different portals and they end up in Limbo and you see Magic, and that's just like boom, that was the key to now her getting out. So now you can introduce her later on. Like there's so many cool things that you could do that you don't have to explain. Just lay a little bit of the groundwork.
Right. That was the last thing I was going to ask before we went into break, too, is the picture of
Hugh Jackman.
Thank you. Picture of Hugh Jackman and Kevin Feige together. What are your thoughts on bringing Hugh Jackman back for Wolverine?
I like the idea. I think that Hugh Jackman is so iconic in that role. And again, the Foxman universe isn't canon to the MCU. You can call it, you can call it another universe if you want. Now that we're in the multiverse, that's fine. But as far as the MCU goes, we haven't seen him yet. So I would love to see him come back. I don't know that I would want him to necessarily, I wouldn't be against it, because again, great Wolverine.
Sure.
But I think I would like to get some new blood in there. Someone I saw a fan casting of, I forget his name, the big burly guy from Letterkenny.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah, I know who you're talking about, but I don't know what
because as great as Jackman was at Wolverine, he definitely made Wolverine his own character.
Oh, for
right?
sure.
But it's still pretty vastly different, I think, from how Wolverine looks and acts in the comics. And I think I would like someone a little bit more comic accurate, you know, someone a bit more burly, you know, more of sort of a brawler type, more gruff and tumble.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, either way, I think being able to sort of pass off the mantle might be cool. But I definitely think that Feige probably sat down, A, with a big bag of Disney money, and then B, just gave him this really great speech about, like, you know, obviously, yes, you made your mark, you know, but it's not in the MCU.
Right. Right. Hopefully it's not another Evan Peters situation where he shows up and we think he's Wolverine.
I don't think they do that twice.
And then he's just Dwayne.
Yeah, no, I don't think that they would do that twice. I think Feige has said something along the lines of, like, Jackman is, like, his favorite character or his favorite portrayal from the Foxman universe.
Yeah.
So I think it's very important to Feige that legacy continues in some way in the MCU as well.
All right. Well, we're going to take a short break here. We'll come back for one more segment of Nerd Radio. And in that segment, we're going to give you some of our recommendations when it comes to what's coming out comic book wise, some of our favorite books of all time, and then some of the stuff that's coming out currently. That's next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
You're a talking turtle.
And you're a human nerd. Now get it.
We're back with more Nerd Radio.
Run for your life. Hey, man, look at me rocking out. I'm on the radio.
That's right. It's Nerd Radio, courtesy of the B-Pod Studios Network, and on your social media, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Nerd Radio 101. Chuck being joined this week by Checkpoint XP Zone, Mr. Robbie Landis. Robbie, we've been talking this entire time about comics, but I know that you're also a video game streamer, very active in that, and I haven't even given you an opportunity to plug your video game stream. You want to do that now?
Yeah, over at twitch.tv/Robbie_Landis.
Yep.
Been playing a lot of Mass Effect recently.
Yes.
I do a bit of Apex Legends as well, but they got hacked recently, and also I'm really bad. I take breaks here and there, but mostly I would say that I'm probably like a variety RPG streamer. I've been doing a lot of Phasmophobia with Callie as well, though, for
some first class
trouble as well. So
How was first? I know you guys streamed it last week. What are your thoughts on First Class Trouble?
I love First Class Trouble. I got bored of Among Us after the first time that I played us. First Class Trouble is basically Among Us with next gen graphics.
Yes,
but there's more than just the one way. Like in Among Us, if you're the killer, you kill people. And if you're not, you have to convince people during the emergency meeting.
Right.
But in Among Us, there's just so much more chaos that can happen. Because anybody can kill anybody if you can convince one other person to help you.
Yes.
You can push people into pools and they drown. Push people into fire and they burn. You can push people into killer traps. You can, you know, send them out of airlocks. Like there's so much more chaos to it. Usually no one really wins.
I would think that
it's just it's so much fun, you know. I always equate Among Us to feeling like Cards Against Humanity. After you play it once,
sure,
you've played it, right?
Yeah.
It's always the same jokes after that. But First Class Trouble, it always finds new ways to surprise you.
Nice. You said Apex Legends. Do you play Valorant anymore?
I never played Valorant. I've never been a tactical shooter guy. The idea of 40-minute matches.
No, that's not me.
Same thing that keeps me away from League of Legends.
Right. So people can find you on Twitch, where at?
At Robbie_Landis.
Excellent. Well, right now we're talking about comics, as we have been for this week's Nerd Radio. And we're at the point in the show where we're going to gush about some of our favorite comics, whether the stuff that's coming out right now or stuff that's our all-time favorites. But let's start with the current crop of what's coming out. What are you reading now that you really love and you're really excited about?
That's like new stuff.
Yeah.
It's difficult because I need to be able to sit down and just like read a bunch of stuff, not just like an issue at a time. So
okay.
There isn't a lot of stuff that I follow like release by release. But as for I can give you a few comic creators that who are doing a bunch of stuff right now release by release that you should be following. The first is Saladin Ahmed, who is writing Miss Marvel and Miles Morales.
Yep.
Both of which are, like, I don't even know how to put it into words. They're just freaking amazing. If you're a Spider-Man fan of any caliber, like, you're going to love both of these things. You know, Miles Morales hits all of the things that you love about Peter Parker without just, you know, feeling like a clone of him. I mean, obviously, you know, he's that I can think of. I think that him and then on the DC side, you know, Barry and Wally West are the only two superheroes that simultaneously share the name with the other superhero who is still there. You know, it's not just like a temporary replacement. Like they are both
Hawkeye.
Spider-Man, which actually brings me into the next one. If you can find literally anything from Kelly Thompson, read it. Read everything that Kelly Thompson has to write. I know she's doing a lot of stuff right now, including actually, I think she just announced
Black Widow series right now.
It's currently happening right now, and she just announced she's going to be part of the next Spider-Man arc as well.
Oh, excellent!
Which I'm really excited about. But you know, Kelly has a way of writing her characters. One of the first things that I read of hers is I read a little bit of her Mr. and Mrs. X.
Okay,
Rogue and Gambit.
Yeah,
and
that was a fantastic
series. Yeah, and she is, you know, a product of the '90s. You know, as much as we are, and it's so great to be able to read her stuff and feel like, you know, feel the same sort of nostalgia that you felt, you know, watching like the old '90s X-Men cartoon, like bleeds through. It seems like a continuation of that. I'm also a big fan of her run of Jessica Jones.
Yeah, the Jessica Jones stuff she did.
Identity Crisis, was it called?
I think so.
Yeah. I haven't read her Kate Bishop stuff yet, which I know is really, really great. Mm-hmm. But she has such a fantastic way of making her comics feel like they are in the world of Marvel. Like, there's so many, like, guest characters that come in, and they don't just seem like they're randomly there. Like they make sense, and it makes this world feel just as alive as the movies and the TV shows are. If I had to put like pick a number one writer, like, she's at the top of my list.
Yeah, the Mr. and Mrs. X book I really loved because you could tell she was a huge fan of Rogue and Gambit. But at the same time, I think she was writing over at IDW the Gem and the Holograms book, and it also had this sense of like, you loved this growing up, didn't you?
Yeah.
Because there's a real, real passion put into these characters and making them feel alive, which is really cool. I know you've read a little bit of Immortal Hulk.
Yeah, that's right. I finished up because I know they were finishing it.
They're about 3 months out from the end.
Okay, because I know the episode issue 50 was going to be their final one, which is I've been waiting basically for them to finish before I go in and kind of finish it up as well.
Yeah.
No, the Immortal Hulk is incredible stuff. The Hulk has always been one of those characters that, like, okay, he's fine. Like, he's never been my favorite. Whatever, sure.
Same here.
But what Al Ewing has done with the Hulk, I put that on par with what...
The Hulk is a Cronenberg body horror book? Okay, now I'm interested.
Well, not even just that, but he's put more of a mythology to it. He's found a way to tie in the entire history of the Hulk and why it all works, and it all makes sense in canon. And I'm blanking on his name right now. Did the same for the Green Lantern and all the
Jeff
all the
Johns. Cores.
Jeff Johns,
yeah.
I equate with what Al Ewing is doing with the Hulk, same thing that Jeff Johns did with the Colored Lantern Corps.
Yeah,
like it has its own mythology now, and he's more than just an angry green guy that smashes things. Like it's tragic. It makes sense. It's just all of it is just beautifully done. And then the body horrors.
Come on. It's fascinating too, like that the examples we gave were like that really works, but then there's also definitely times where somebody decides to like put a mythology behind it. Like whenever they try and give me a mythology behind Spider-Man, that he wasn't just a guy that got bit by a spider and got spider powers, that like there's a spider totem and there's a mysticism behind it, I'm like, no, he's just Peter Parker and he takes pictures. And
that gets weird. I think what I like about Peter, you know, as far as the mythology behind Spider-Man goes, is a similar thing to what I think, not what I think, but what a lot of people think Superman does well, and he's an inspiration, right? Because there is there's the whole Spider-Verse, and you have, you know, so many clones and people who have picked up the mantle along with him, and there's just a whole big spider family, and that's great. And I think that him just being an inspiration to other people makes the most sense to me. You know, I've talked about how Spider-Man is my favorite, and the reason why is from the Ultimate Timeline, the death of Spider-Man was what illustrated this point the best to me. Is, you know, when you look at all the heroes out there, whether they got their powers on purpose or whether they got their powers on accident, Peter Parker is arguably the one guy that should not have had those powers. Like, and even with your powers, you should not be out doing superhero stuff.
Right.
You are a kid. You have no experience. You have no training. Like, you are easily, like, bro, don't. You're going to get someone hurt.
Yeah.
Don't do it. And he recognizes that as well. But there's that idea that, like, but I have the power to stop stuff, and I can't just sit by and watch it happen.
He can't help himself.
And while other heroes, you know, Captain America, you know, he was a weak little guy who got powers, and so now he's the same way. I can't just watch injustices go by.
Right.
But there's still a little bit of a sort of selfish center to that, because that's what Captain America wants to do. Peter doesn't even want to do it. He knows this is dumb. I'm going to get myself and probably somebody else killed, and he's constantly afraid of it. but he still does it anyway. And in the death of Spider-Man leading up to that, you see, you know, the Fury's Dark Avengers going up against Carol Danvers' Avengers because Loki tricked them all into fighting each other.
Right.
And it's like you're all caught up in politics fighting other heroes who you know are other heroes, but because they're against your ideals, you gotta stop them.
Right.
And in the middle of all of this is Peter just trying to save people. And it's like, you know, in Ultimate, he's like, what, 11, 12 years old?
I think by that time he's like 16. Because well, I think when it starts, it's like 12 or 13.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's like a kid gets that.
Yeah.
But like adults just get caught up in the politics and stuff. And that's why Spider-Man has always been one of my favorite and why I think he just inspires so many people is, you know, even with J. Jonah Jameson, you know, painting him as a villain, you know, a criminal, it would be so easy for him to just stop or even just use his powers for selfish gain.
Right.
And no, he has to be the good guy.
I'm just now going through the Ultimate Spider-Man books and kind of reading through them again. You know, I've had the collection. I read them when they came out, and I've had the collection for a while. And I was just like, I'm going to read these again because it's been a while, and I loved them. And most of it holds up real well. There's a couple of things. He makes a lot of body-shaming jokes with the Kingpin that I'm like, I don't know. That doesn't really fly nowadays, really. But a lot of it holds up really well, and I do love the...
I think that was Geoff Johns too, wasn't it?
That was Brian Michael Bendis.
Brian Michael Bendis, there you go. I always get the two mixed up.
Yeah, but I love the core concept of Nick Fury. I think it's near, and this is a spoiler if you haven't read it, but after he dies, says something about the fact that like Peter Parker had every reason and opportunity to be a villain, to be somebody I was going to have to either put down or put in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And he still tried to do the right thing at every step. And that perfectly embodies what I want out of a Spider-Man.
Yep, yep.
You brought up Superman, too. Is there a particular like run of Superman that you love?
Yeah, so Superman, to me, was always a boring, lazy excuse for a hero. You know, people joke that like he has every superpower in the book, including Callie's favorite, super ventriloquism. but his one weakness is an element, you know, a rock that isn't even native to this planet, whose planet blew up, so there shouldn't be any of it.
Right.
But somebody always has some somehow.
You can always find some on eBay somewhere.
Yeah. So I was never a big Superman fan, but in the Rebirth run, John Kent, his son that he had with Lois, has completely changed that character for me. It, I think, fixes all of the problems and all the flaws with Superman. It gives him a weakness that is now exploitable.
Sure.
And just seeing him as a parent with Lois, regardless of what you think of Superman, if you haven't read Rebirth's Superman and Action Comics, you're really doing yourself a big disservice. I mean, John Kent as a character as well has been a fantastic addition to DC's lineup. You know, I read Super Sons, which I was ready for that to just be the dumbest idea I've ever heard about.
No, it's real charming.
It's really good. Him and Damian, you know, teaming up, learning from each other, seeing how they grow throughout the entire series. It's one of the better books that I've read out of the Rebirth era.
Okay, so have you experienced any of the new X-Men stuff?
Yeah, a little bit. Obviously, I read Hoxpox stuff,
yeah.
And then I recently went and read X of Swords event as well. You know, I call it a problem, but it's one of those good problems to have with X-Men is that they are an entire section of Marvel all on their own.
Yes.
You know, like you could take X-Men out of Marvel and just launch an X-Men publishing company and compete with the likes of Marvel and DC.
It's true.
And I would love to be able to get caught up on all of it because there's so many great characters. You know, I become a huge fan of Magic after the Empire crossover.
Sure.
Cypher is really cool, too. You know, I got attached to him through the X of Swords stuff. And I know the Hellfire Gala has done, you know, some really cool stuff recently as well. It's something that I want to go and get caught up on everything, but
it's a lot.
There's so much of it, man.
It's a lot. And when people are like, I can't, there's too much of it. I understand completely.
And that's even worse. Like if I tell you to go and get caught up on Captain Marvel, cool. You just have to read the Captain Marvel and there might be a crossover here and there.
Yep.
But with X-Men, these characters are all across all of them. So it's hard to just be like, just go read Marauders, you know?
Yeah. And it's a similar problem with something like Spider-Man, where like Spidey has always got, there's a book every week, whether it's just Amazing Spider-Man every week or whether there's four or five different Spider-Man books that are all going on. There's a Spider-Man book every week, Superman, Batman, you know, they're franchise, they're tent poles to those publishing companies.
Although is it the Amazing Spider-Man that recently went through the arc with Kindred?
I think so, yeah.
Just reading through that, you know, all seem pretty self-contained enough, so long as you're not trying to keep up with all the Spider-Verse stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I agree. There's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I know. Currently, I'm a huge fan of what's going on in the X-Men. The current run of Ninja Turtles is really interesting. They've got a writer / artist called Sophie Campbell who worked with Kelly Thompson
Is Donatello still dead? Did they find a way to bring him
no,
back?
No, Donatello came back.
Oh, okay.
Fairly quickly. They've added a fifth turtle, a female turtle.
Venus?
No, but Venus is in the book, which is very, very fun. What they're doing right now is at the end of like the 100th issue, somebody set off a bomb in a section of New York City that mutated everyone that was there. So now it's closed off and it's called Mutant Town and they live there.
That's actually pretty cool.
And there's a bunch of different animal mutants there. And it's a lot of fun because it harkens back for me to the old role-playing game, which just lets you pick an animal and mutate it. And then,
well, what's great about that idea too, you know, as well, and again, I've never read the Ninja Turtle books before, but you know,
right.
I feel like one of the flaws of the Ninja Turtles, you know, wanting to be secret all the time is outside of just hiding in the sewers and then going out and fighting, like what do you really explore? And if you now have an entire section of New York that has been mutated, this now gives you so much more freedom to now explore the idea that mutants can just be out and about.
They
you don't have to worry about hiding anymore.
You get to explore their personalities a lot more. I think Michael,
not just with that, you know, the turtle dynamic, but just that's really cool.
I think
idea.
Michelangelo has taken up radio broadcasting, mm-hmm. and Leonardo is leading a school and teaching people how to defend themselves and mm-hmm. stuff. Like it's a real interesting thing.
They get integrated into society now.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And somebody had mentioned, which we'll get to some of our all time favorites, but over in Image Comics, they've got a lot of stuff that would have been Vertigo, DC Vertigo back in the '90s, but now is all published by Image thanks to all that Walking Dead money that they got. They've got a series called Die, which is really fascinating because it's a horror series, and it's essentially this group of kids were playing a tabletop role-playing game and disappeared in like 1996 and then showed up again I want to say like 5 months or 5 years later, and no one will say what
happened. That's a pretty big window, 5 months to 5 years.
It is. But no one will say what's happened to them, but then they all grow up, and one of them is missing. They all grow up, and then all of them receive like a message that they have to go back to wherever they were mm-hmm. to save their friend, which essentially ends up being the role-playing game they were playing. And it's a fascinating. Yeah, somebody in the chat saying like Jumanji-esque, mm-hmm. very much so. But one of the things that Image has been really good about publishing, a whole bunch of like almost people will go to Marvel or DC to essentially do a popular character, but then go over to Image and make their own thing obviously looking to get licensed.
Well, once they've kind of, you know, like got some cred under their belt.
Right. You see like Jupiter's Legacy on Netflix was mm-hmm. one of those shows that like the Mark Millar had done the Ultimates and Ultimate X-Men and stuff. And then, you know, made a bunch of his own stuff over at Image and got him some Netflix mm-hmm. money. But one of the series they mentioned was Sex Criminals. Are you familiar with this book at all?
I am not, no.
So Matt Fraction, who did the Hawkeye series about 10 years ago now. Jesus. But Matt Fraction had written that book. Well, he wrote this book as well with Chip Zdarsky, who's doing a whole bunch of stuff over at Marvel as well mm-hmm. as a writer. But he did the art on this. I think Chip's currently doing Daredevil. And it's about a couple of people who discover when they're younger that when they have an orgasm, time stops for them.
Oh.
And then they eventually find each other, this couple, and figure out, oh, we can both do that. That's neat. And end up finding all these other people that have superpowers based around orgasm. It's a very sex-positive book. Mm-hmm. It's extremely funny. It's also very weird, as you can tell from the description.
Yeah.
And it's also hard to go into a comic book store and say, hey, do you have the latest Sex Criminals? Which I'm sure they did on purpose. I'm wearing the shirt for Saga, which is another mm-hmm. huge book from Image.
Yeah, I know a lot of people that swear by Saga.
Yeah, it's essentially Star Wars meets Romeo and Juliet. Mm. And it's very, very fascinating book. The guy who's writing Die right now is actually the writer for Saga. And hopefully that'll be coming back at any moment now. But let's talk about the DC side of things. Is there anything currently going on in DC that you're like super pumped about?
No, DC is definitely one of the ones that I'm not following, like, you know, current stuff that's coming out. I know that they are in the middle of sort of, you know, again, every few years they have sort of like this big shift, you know, sort of jumping on point for people. I don't know if they finished up or if they're still in the middle of Future State.
That was the first 2 months of the year. So
yeah,
They're back in the main universe. But like you're saying, it's definitely a shifting.
Yeah, so no, as far as my DC stuff goes, I'm reading through the DC Rebirth stuff, which, you know, I was doing for the other identity, but I'll probably still continue to do.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to get caught up, you know, to be able to, you know, I haven't read Death Metal or, you know, the Doomsday Clock yet, because I kind of wanted to read all through the stuff leading up to it. I also started reading through, and again, this is for the other identity, so I don't know if, how much I'll continue this or not, but I was right in the middle of reading through Injustice, finished Injustice 1.
Yeah.
Now I'm at Ground Zero and then Injustice 2.
I love the Harley and Injustice.
Like, yeah.
I own like they're... three single issues of Injustice specifically because they were focused on that Harley Quinn.
Well, all of Ground Zero, which is sort of the in-between, is focused through Harley's perspective, you know, during,
sure.
during it. So... Yeah, we were reading all that to actually have a, I think our next episode was going to be on Injustice, so, you know, that kind of sucks. Yeah, other than that, again, just reading through the DC Rebirth era stuff, I mean, there's a lot of great stuff. You know, I've already talked about a little bit of it here. You know, the Batwoman stuff is great. Really enjoying a lot of the stuff that they did through Detective Comics with the Bat Family.
Yeah, that was interesting. The most interesting of it is that they decided Clayface was a part of it.
I loved that stuff. You know,
yeah.
I love the way that they're able to dig into, you know, some of the villains in there and just the things that they do with them. Clayface had a lot of really heartbreaking scenes through some of those arcs. So,
sure.
Yeah, obviously it's, you know... very, very old at this point, you know, 5-6 years, I think. But that's the majority of where I'm putting a lot of my DC time.
Are you familiar with the Deceased series?
No, isn't that like Marvel Zombies, but for DC?
Essentially, yeah. It's the basic premise is that the anti-life equation that Darkseid is looking for, like he actually finds it and it turns everybody into rage zombies.
All right, cool.
So it's worth checking out. It's fascinating. And when it comes to like all-time stuff, it's funny, the more you collect comics, the more you go from like, I like this character to I like this creator.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll follow creators across different characters.
See, that's what a lot of people early on, I'm like, I don't know where to start. They're like, just find someone you like and follow them. But
yeah.
I don't know how to find someone I like, you know, just yet. But, you know, eventually, you know, someone like Kelly Thompson, who hadn't written any of my favorite characters but now is going to be with Spider-Man, so I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, for sure, because I ended up following, I mentioned him earlier in the show, the guy who did The Boys and Preacher, Garth Ennis, and his run on John Constantine is probably why I attached myself to John Constantine.
I might be wrong here, but did he write the Hard Traveling Heroes during Rebirth?
I'm not sure.
Specifically, that is a dog welder story.
Yes, then that is it.
Traveling Heroes. Yep, Garth Ennis. Yep.
Which is a couple of characters he created when he in the late 90s did a book that was based in Gotham that was just called Hitman.
Mm-hmm.
And that was also, that's probably the one Garth Ennis book that a lot of people either don't know about or just haven't read because they never really collected it. You had to go and find the single issues, but it might be my favorite. It might be the most endearing character.
It's both terrible and great because I hate just the concept of... The only thing that I liked about the book was how he was able to tie a mythology behind dog welder.
Yes. And you can tell because, once again, he's the guy that did The Boys. And his run on The Punisher over at Marvel had some stuff that, like, he's not real big fan of superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
He likes really taking the piss out of them and making them look stupid. And he tends to do that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Somebody in the chat said Lock and Key was really good. That is a fascinating book.
Heard of, haven't read that.
Yep. My first comics, like I mentioned earlier, were Transformers and Ninja Turtles, and I'm still pretty on board with that. A couple of years ago, they just ended a run on the Transformers that was done by a guy called, his name's escaping me. It was called Transformers More Than Meets the Eye. And it was, on top of just being a fun book about alien robots that turn into cars, it was just excellent sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was time travel, there was all the sci-fi tropes you could want, but it was very excellently written. And I always recommend to people, it's like, look, I know it's hard to take a book seriously about a toy franchise, but this was really good. For a long time, Saga and that book would come out in the same week, and it started to turn into a thing where, like, I got to know what happens in my Transformers book before I know what happens in Saga. But I think that's going to do it. I think that's all. Do you have any all-time favorites that, like, you know, like reads that you'd go back to? That
Ultimate Spider-Man. If I had to pick, like, just one, it would definitely be Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Loved everything about that book. Like, even down to the dumb stuff, like when Aunt May basically turned her house into, like, hey, all you teenage superheroes, just come live here. And it was like an episode of, like, MTV or something. Like, it was just fun. It was just fun.
Yeah, even, like, on the surface, you look at that and you're like, wait, so the Human Torch and Iceman, it's Spider-Man and his amazing friends.
Pretty much, yep.
All living in Aunt May's house. What is going on here? But then you read the book and it's really charming and it's really fun.
Yeah, I've noticed that a lot over the past year, you know, reading more comics, is that when something comes out and you read about in a headline, it always sounds so stupid.
Yeah.
Empire, when they turned Cap into Hydra Cap, like, everyone thought that was just
Secret Empire.
Secret Empire, sorry. Yeah. Thought that was just so dumb. And I remember reading, like, all the headlines being like, yeah, that is stupid. And then I actually read Secret Empire, and I'm like, no, this is actually all really, really well done. So I think if people take one thing out of this episode, it's that, you know, read things for yourself before you really start to make any judgments
on
comics. Because, you know, places like CBR and comicbook.com or whatever definitely don't do it justice. And I definitely feel like, even having read stuff now and then read their articles, I feel like, low-key, they're trying to make people angry with their articles, because maybe that results in more clicks.
More clicks. Yep. Yeah, and I would say the same thing we said last week when we talked about our professional wrestling, is that there is so much to take in as far as comic books are concerned. Don't concern yourself with having to try and read all of it, because A, you can't.
Yep.
And B, you're just gonna make yourself miserable. Yeah, because
do your best to just jump in and finish one thing and then just go from there.
Yeah, find a character that speaks to you, and then eventually find a creator, whether it's find an artist that you're like, man, I really like looking at that guy's arts. His pictures, they're real pretty. And collect that stuff until you eventually find the next thing that you enjoy comic book wise. Robbie, thank you so much for being a part of the show this week.
You're welcome.
I absolutely appreciate it. I encourage you guys once again, if you're looking for comic books, go to Comic Shop Locator. Free Comic Book Day, usually in April, has been moved to August, I think, this year, if I'm remembering correctly. So that's something to look forward to. And that's the day that you can go. And if you go to Free Comic Book Day, don't ask them if you can have that Hulk 181 first appearance of Wolverine for free. That's not how Free Comic Book Day works. All right, James and Al should be back next week for Nerd Radio, as far as I know, unless they're having so much fun on vacation that I never see them again. And we'll talk to you next week.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you nerds.
This Transformer is cool.
Have a great weekend.
See you later, nerds.
The future's stupid, guys. I'm sorry, but it is.
I have spoken.
Well, here we are.
It's also going to be very strange because of the way I had to set the cameras up. I believe when you face me, you're actually facing me on the Twitch stream, but I'm like looking off screen like Mario Brothers. So it comes back around.
No, I think we're both good. I think we both face each other.
All right, good.
Yeah, good.
Then I got
good.
It right. Yay! Right.
Everybody abandoned you today, huh?
Yeah, well, everyone's on vacation. And, you know, God bless them.
Vacation.
Yeah. What's vacation like?
Can you get a Robbie? What's the Robbie drop again?
Oh, geez. It's on the other computer over there. It's the,
you have to make it with your mouth sounds.
All right. It's from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Oh, no! It's the guy from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
There you go.
Yelling,
see,
oh,
never,
no.
Let it never be said that I don't do nice things for this show.
It's true. That's why you're here today.
Mm-hmm. I grew up in a small town called Oakley, which is outside of a slightly larger but still super small town called Chesaning.
Oh, I love you guys' sunglasses.
Yeah, that's not where they're from.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.